Can't believe we the chosen. We gon' make it. Just hold on. Yeah.
Yeah. This little light, I'ma let it shine. Alright. This is the moment I waited for my whole life. Yeah. Just a vessel for His glory. Let it shine. Alright. Father, shine Your light on me.
Welcome back to Life's Sight to the Blind podcast. That was the amazing artist, Darok Ibar, or Ibar, off his album Seven Trumpets. The song is called Shine. Make sure you check out his music on iTunes. I got the link in the description of this episode. Before I begin, let me clear up what it is I actually do on both of my social media accounts, because it seems the awakened and the unawakened are oblivious to what this war is. Now, I posted on my first page at 2LarryJohnson7 a 3-minute video about how McDonald's sprays their particular potatoes with this either pesticide, whatever they spray, this chemical they spray. Turns out that the way they use this russet potato is that it has to off-gas. So they spray it with some type of chemical in order for these stems, or that they don't want on a particular potato, fall off. So when they spray this particular potato, it sits. It has to off-gas for like maybe 6 days. And then, of course, you know what they do with McDonald's French fries. They pack it with all this type of salt. And I mean, it's really, really unhealthy. I mean, you've seen the documentary of the guy who ate McDonald's food for almost like a year straight and almost died. I mean, no one's going to eat it that much. But he's showing what the dangers could be if you prolong eating or have unhealthy eating habits. And if you couple that with soft drinks because they're so acidic, and you couple that with music and low vibrational, you know, frequencies, you're going to tear your spirit up. And that was my point of that video. Now, this dude named Eric H. Alphabet, he came on the scene, I'm going to say 2 or 3 years ago. I stumbled upon his Instagram. And at that time, he was doing the same work I was doing. And at that time, no one was really exposing Judaism like that. But since I was kicked off Twitter, I started to put more of my emphasis on Instagram, because I'm a audio and visual learner. Like, it's hard to teach on Twitter because you get only like 280 some characters and there's not much you can do. So I started more on Instagram. And I would throw him work, he would throw me work, and we would collaborate on some things, and that was it. Then he jumped off the scene. My spirituality, my growth, my journey was enriched because I started following the Most High a little bit more. I started doing the feast days and holy days and finding the right calendar. My work changed because my worship changed. My direction of how I wanted to praise the Most High changed. He dropped off and was pretty much silent for like almost like a year and a half. Maybe he was gone for some time. So he saw that video that I did at McDonald's. Instead of tagging me, instead of saying, hey, what you mean? What do you mean by this? What do you mean that the foods are toxic? What do you mean by this? I would have told him, like, hey, if you eat too much McDonald's, obviously it's going to mess with your spirit. I mean, if on my previous episodes, I talked about how you saw nothing but fights on Reddit, and all these fights among citizens were in fast food restaurants. That is not a coincidence. The food that people do not know what they're shoveling in their mouth. I mean, I can go back to the A.B. Finkelstein interview that people say it don't exist. But the more they try to debunk that video, the more true it sounds. This guy, A.B. Finkelstein, was talking about how all the aborted meat, the fetuses, and what they do in abortion clinics, They take that food. This is what he says in the interview. Look the interview up. They take the aborted fetuses and they chop them up, and then they throw them into. They give them to the slaughterhouses and McDonald's. They chop it up and they pull out the patty and all that. That's why when you eat McDonald's, you always either have diarrhea or you have an upset stomach right after you eat it, because it's not healthy food. I don't think what they're using is real meat. You think those are real chicken nuggets? Why do you think they was pushing Beyond Meat after, you know, fast food restaurants were popping up with rats or with fingers? And it looked that up. There's been instances where human remains have been found in fast food restaurants and accidentally popped up in people who had bought the food. But instead of approaching me like a man, instead of really approaching me like a man and saying, hey, this is what I think you were trying to say. And then I would have corrected him. But no, he took the video, he took a screenshot, posted on his story. I just happened to have somebody who followed him, because I stopped following him. I had happened to somebody who followed him send it to me. So I'm like, I followed this dude. I had no beef with this dude. Then under the post, he go, oh, now he's telling everybody that potatoes is toxic. And then he brings up scripture about, when Yahusha said, nothing shall hurt you. It's what goes out, comes out of your mouth rather than what goes in your mouth. He took that whole verse out of context. And then he bragged and boasted and said, well, this is why I do it. Like, as if that's correcting me. So, of course, doesn't scripture say, how you judge, you would be judged also? So I flipped the script on him. So I antagonized him. I mocked him. This is what I do. I do the same thing with celebrities. Celebrities haven't never mentioned my, well, one time, celebrities really never mentioned my name. But I put out this work the same, as if we are going at it, as if we're in war. Some celebrities may not know nothing about how I talk about them or how I expose them, but I do it all the same. What makes you think I won't do it to anybody else who really brings up my name? I don't necessarily need y'all to defend me every single time. I could do things myself. So when I go back and forth with him, he goes in my DM. You on drugs, you're drinking. Now he's bearing false witness. Oh, you're a racist. Oh, the Israelites is a religion. Oh, you do is white supremacy. You doing the KKK. That's bearing false witness. That's not speaking not only on my nation, that's speaking on the Most High's inheritance. And I got some awakened Israelite woman in my DMs. Oh, I didn't know you was the type of person who would argue online. What do you think I've been doing this whole time? This is what I do. I expose. I use other people's words against themselves. I ain't said nothing. I may have said you're a punk white boy. Is he not white? Yes. Is he a punk? Yes. I don't truly get into backbiting because my mouth is crazy. I can get into some backbiting. But all I did was take his words and say, this is the person who's supposedly teaching the scripture to Christians. He says he's not a Christian, but he's teaching the Greek version of scripture. He's teaching the King James New Testament. He won't, even if I corrected him, he has not tried to change Yahusha's name into the name, his Hebrew name. He keeps using Jesus. And then he's using Greek philosophers along with scripture. So I expose him. I don't go in his table, oh, you stupid dummy. No, I go, why do you keep calling him Jesus? If you for the truth, which he posts about, I'm for the truth. If you're for the truth, why can't you change his name? I don't know why any of you can't change Jesus to Yahusha. I don't know how hard that is. Oh, I don't know Hebrew. You don't know Greek either. None of you speak Greek. None of you speak Latin. So why would you use a Greek name? Some of you aren't even Greek. I would think you would have more respect for somebody who really went through all of that he went through. Cried blood, pierced in the side, drank bad water or whatever he had, he was thirsty, and they put it in, he put a sponge up to his mouth, and the last drink he had before he passed. And y'all can't respect this man enough to call him Yahusha. Especially when I just dropped information that Jesus, the letter J, was not even around at that time. What is about you Christians or you people who coming out of these religions? What is about that name that you can't let that go? The letter J wasn't even invented at the time that Yahusha walked this earth. If you look at the old 1611 King James Version, they was putting I's where the J's should be because there was no J's. It was Jesus Christos or Jesus Christ. That don't even sound right. That brings me to another thing. Well, let me close this thing with Eric. So I antagonized him. I mocked him. And then that was the end of it. Now people, you shouldn't be arguing. You know, this is not what y'all likes. You don't know what y'all likes and what y'all wants from me. I'm not the same type of person. I'm not the coward that sits on the sideline and just watches. And then don't engage into what this war is. It's war. It's a war. It's a spiritual war. I said this on Jason Whitlock's Fearless. I'm at a point of war. I'm at a point of healing. And that's the problem with Christianity and religion. Every day it's a healing episode for you. Every day you search scriptures to make you feel better about yourself. It reminds me of that scene in Demolition Man. Before Wesley Snipes smashed his head against the wall, the window, or told him to get out of here, he was standing in front of a kiosk saying, I'm really feeling down today. And the kiosk goes, you look great today. That whole scene right there was them mocking social media. And that's what you get with churchianity and the church of Instagram. Is all these weak, watered-down scriptures that has nothing to do with war, that has nothing to do with battle and conquering your enemy. It's to make you feel good about yourself. Oh, I'm a sinner. I'm all a whole humble sinner. Oh, pity me. You do this from Sunday to Sunday, Sunday to Sunday. Y'all churches, I can guarantee it, your churches do not suit you up for war. And that is what you'll get over here when you listen to me. I'm suiting you up for war. How long are you going to keep walking this earth? I'm a sinner. I'm a humble sinner. He saved me. I'm a wretch. My flesh is destroyed. How long are you going to keep telling yourself that? When you tell yourself that long enough, you will convince your spirit that you are a sinner. Your actions, your emotions, your path will be a path of going in and out of righteousness, in and out of sin, heaping sin upon sin upon sin, and you carrying those demons into your household. And I told you about the parable of when the demon is cleaned out of the house, and because he has nowhere else to go or nowhere else to land, he goes back to where the house he came from and bring in more demons, more nastier than himself. But that's what you get in Christianity and religion. Oh, I feel sorry. So now you're going to scrouge the internet for scriptures that make you feel good. And they're out of context most of the time. If you read two verses down after the verses you've seen, it's always the Israelites did this. The Israelites did this. Y'all's inheritance did this. Y'all get scriptures taken out of context and then try to add them to your personal life so you can feel good about sinning for that 24-hour time period, and then you're back to doing the same garbage you've been doing. That's what you get with religion. Religion is supposed to keep you bound to sin, bound to repentance, bound to asking for forgiveness. At some point in time, you stop. At some point, You find that silver lining, that sweet spot, and you stay there as long as you can. Because I understand this world heaps all misery and confusion upon you. So, yeah, sometimes you act out of character. But you're not walking around and saying, oh, I'm a sinner. I'm just a wretch. He died for my sins. So I'm using that as a free pass to throw a pity party for myself. Instead of him teaching the truth, he's trying to expose me for something I didn't even say. So he bearing false witness on me, and I'm drawing it to his attention. So I don't need people telling me, oh, I know you argued online with people. I barely do that. The last person I really argued and went at was Juan, and he another Christian street preacher. And the reason why I brought him into my world because he went on his page talking about, oh, he's pushing Ezra. He's pushing these lost books. It's a works doctrine. These Christians can't read the Apocrypha books because they don't have Jesus in them. So they're like, oh, it's not real. So the whole point of Christianity too is to blot out us. It's to blot out the Israelites. So New Testament, they think it's all about them. It's all for them. They think everybody in the New Testament somehow magically went to Christianity. Everybody converted from out of Israelites and then went into Christianity. So now the Old Testament don't matter. That's how people's brains are set in. Their brains are set in what the Roman Catholic Church has canonized for them to read. And they don't get that point that it was the Roman Catholic Church who invented Christianity. I don't know how that's hard to not believe. All you gotta do is research it. It keeps coming up with Constantine. It doesn't say Yahusha. It says Constantine. Constantine and the Roman Catholic Church and the Council of Nicaea, that is the three words you could look up to find out where that religion came from. And you think y'all is playing with that religion? Oh, I'm being blessed. Demons and Satan can bless you to keep you blinded, to keep spirits away from, to keep you away from the Most High's light. Because really, in that religion, everybody boasts about being Christian. I don't know why so many Christians boast about being Christians online. It's not like they some badge of honor. I'm a Christian. I like suffering. I'm on the cross. I like to bear the cross. I pick up my... And they don't follow no laws. They don't follow no statutes. They don't follow no commandments. The only laws, statutes, and commandments that they follow is man's laws. Because they believe if they just be good in front of man's eyes, they don't have to worry about being good in front of the Most High's eyes. They don't worship the Most High the same. They worship Jesus as God. So they keep using Cesare Borgia and Leonardo da Vinci's depiction of Yahusha and then turn them whitewashed. But that's what they believe in. We ain't following the same person. And there's holidays coming up. You trying to tell me that Yahusha and the Most High is going to put us in the same box as Christians who do Thanksgiving, Easter, Christmas, Halloween's? You think we're going to be one flesh, one body, and y'all doing pagan rituals? Nah. I'm guarantee you the Most High is separating us for a purpose to show you what you are not doing, because his children are coming back to him. We're not coming back to him and turn around and saying we're sinners. Oh, pity us. We're not doing that. We're coming back to him. Following his calendar, following his statutes, following his commandments and his ordinances. How can you know that in religion if you don't know exactly how you're sinning? If you don't exactly know how you're not worshiping the Most High? It's really a pride thing with people. So let me drop Psalms 109. Because apparently people who DM me telling me to stop arguing with this dude, which I stop when I want to stop. My gift is to expose and destroy. And don't care who. And don't care how it looks. Imagine if Yahusha's talking to the Pharisees and Sadducees in the Yehudium. And he's talking back at them, even though they accuse him, they talking back at him. Imagine his disciples saying, hey man, don't talk to them like that. Hey, don't talk to the Pharisees and Sadducees like that. You look crazy right now. You know how crazy you look talking to them people? Because they at that time, they ran. They were all in Jerusalem. And I'm not talking about that fake land. I'm talking about the one in Africa. They were all around that area. So they all they did was go look where he at, where he at, where he at so we can accuse him, where we at so we can trap him, where we at so we can kill him. So Yahushua was amongst them. So imagine the disciples pulling him aside. Hey man, you look crazy right now. Why are you arguing with them? You the son of the Most High. I did not think you would argue with Pharisees and Sadducees. They never said that to him. Neither to David, neither to Abraham, neither to Isaac, and neither to Jacob, neither to Judah. If you read Jasher and you read the Old Testament books, they went to war. The Most High just didn't slaughter their enemies while they fell asleep. No, he put them to work and he protected them. That is how the Most High puts his glory out there. To show you he's real. To show you he can conquer your enemies by using you. That's the point of Christianity and religion. You sit on your butt, you sit on your couch, and just you talk and post that you follow the Most High. And you don't do none of this, none of the feast days, holy days. You do none of the worship that he desires. And then you say, oh, please, I want this, 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 and this. You do these weak Joel Osteen affirmations to yourself. I want this. I want to manifest this. And you sit in your couch, do nothing about it. Then get pissy and moany where it doesn't work out for you. Then you go back to calling yourself a sinner again. Like I said, this is a war. Even David knew how to speak amongst his enemies or pray amongst his enemies. This is Psalms 109. Hold not your peace, O Elohai, of my praise, for the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of the deceitful are opened against me. They have spoken against me with a lying tongue. They compass me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause. For my love, they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good and hatred for my love. Set you a wicked man over him and let Satan stand at his right hand. When he shall be judged, let him be condemned and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few and let another take his office. Let his children be fatherless and his woman a widow. Let his children be fatherless and his woman a widow. Let his children be continually vagabonds and beg and let them seek their bread also out their desolate places. Let the extortioner catch all that he has and let the stranger spoil his labor. Let there be none to extend mercy unto him, neither let there be any to favor his fatherless children. Let his posterity be cut off, and in the generation following, let their name be blotted out. Let the iniquity of his fathers be remembered with El Yahuwah, and let not the sin of his mother be blotted out. Let them be before Yahuwah continually, that he may be cut off from off the memory of them from the earth. If you want to pray against your enemies, use that prayer. Psalms 109. And I didn't even say this prayer against Eric because he's a non-factor in my work. But I bet you the Most High, if I lay this prayer down, because I am righteous, righteous in my works, righteous in my path right now, if I lay that prayer down right now, I could sit back and watch and go at him again and watch his whole world crumble. The same judgment he's trying to put on me, saying, "Oh, your whole life is gonna fall apart now. You coming at me? You're afraid of yourself." Saying all these stupid words to me to make him sound fake woke and fake spiritual. I could lay this prayer down and watch his tongue cleave to the roof of his mouth. Watch his anxiety, his spirit take over. This is what it is to be in war. I go into the prayer closet, I lay down my prayer, and I go out there and do the work myself. And then Yah puts his hand on me to make sure the work is done correctly, righteously. So then when I triumph, I give him the glory. Some of you need to learn how to pray when you're at war. Some of you don't even think you're at war. These days are coming, and they're coming up fast, especially with this digital currency. Now, they put out a 12-week program, a 12-week pilot Trust me, they already had it going. You remember two or three years ago when one of the banks, like one of the major banks, had a hack and the whole server went down? Fam, what do you think they've been doing? You ever seen when Twitter goes down, Facebook goes down, Instagram goes down? They have already been preparing. So when the information gets too fast, they'll shut the system down. They've been running dry checks on us for the last 5 years. Blackouts, all that stuff that they've been doing on us, it has been going on to see if they can do it. Remember, this is all new to them. Some of this is new to them. Yes, this is their old ways of false flagging and psyops, but certain things, this is new. They have never crashed a digital system before. So they've been preparing you. People walking around, they're going to take care of us. They have already been doing this already. They've been preparing for digital currency for 10 years already. All the technology you think is coming out now new to us, if they put it in movies, that means they have had it 10 years before they put it in a movie. See, to get these rituals going, all it is witchcraft and spells. They have already been programming you with digital currency. They've been programming you with natural disasters. They've been programming you with nuclear fallout. They've been programming you with every other major city being destroyed by some type of nuclear blast or some superhero blast. Or, you know, they have already been doing this destruction on you. I'm going to post, I found a 15-minute clip on YouTube of all the natural disasters, of all the cities being destroyed in particular movies where it has this, like, you know, I can't think of it now right now. What was a good one? San Andreas, when the fault line and the whole LA crumbled. And of course, you know, the one with New York with Independence Day, and then the one where the big giant wave tsunami took out everybody and all that, that movie. I think with Morgan Freeman was the president or whatever. So they've been programming us with this destruction. They did the same thing with the digital currency system. It'd be just like 9/11. What were they doing the day of 9/11? Having a training exercise about if they could run planes into the building the same day they CGI planes into the building. Then they did the same thing in London. When that London bombing happened, they did the same exact exercise of terrorists or hijackers hijacking the subway system or whatever and blowing it up. So this 12-week piloting program, fam, it could be just like another 9/11. They could say they could be running this pilot right now. And then right after that, they can pull the plug and it all goes down. And nobody will know. Everybody would panic. Now, this could be happening this year, it could happen next year. But I'm telling you, it's going to happen soon. Because then they want you to blame Donald Trump. The guy who bankrupts all his casinos and bankrupts his business and defrauds his businesses, they know they already programmed you with him making this country broke for some reason. When all presidents have made this country broke, they're going to put it all on him. Because as soon as this system goes down, it'll be on his hands that, oh, because of his businesses in Atlantic City and because of his business that got to be saved by Russian influence, all of a sudden, it's on him. And people, because they have this mythical ideology of Donald Trump being a white supremacist or a MAGA Nazi, is completely ignorant and completely stupid if you look at the facts. This man just got an award, the highest esteem award from Jewish people. He had gotten this award. How can he be MAGA, a Nazi, and a fascism if he's being promoted and given awards by Jews? And even with his presidency, they made a coin with this. They made a coin with this man's face on it in Israel. How do y'all think he a MAGA Nazi? I don't know how people get washed up in this right-left paradigm. It's the most retardedest thing people cannot ever come out of. Oh, Biden did this. Oh, Biden did. And you know they play you. All they do is throw one thing on one side, one thing. It's like a tennis match. They go back and forth, and they put y'all in the middle having y'all watch it. So your heads go back and forth, back and forth. I mean, look at the midterm elections. They did all of that just to break even. They do all of that just to break even. They made it seem like the Democrats want to take over all of the House and Senate. They split, which is what they usually do anyway. Yeah, they cheated and rigged some of those elections because they cheated and rigged some of those elections last year. And there's only one or two states that they do it. I don't know why people get all uppity about governor races and lower level politician races, because that really don't do nothing. They're going to change these laws regardless. It's not, they go, oh, Atlanta, it's a big, like, it don't matter who's in the House and Senate for Atlanta. Not one black politician, especially Herschel Walker, up there tap dancing and soft shoeing, him and the other Boule pastor, Warnock, they not going to make any difference in the White House. There's not a black politician has made not one law that has ever benefited black folk. Not one. They got to keep jumping on white politicians' coattails, and it's always about abortion, and it's always about women health care, anything that could promote feminism, the first and second waves of feminism. As long as they can keep doing that, they got a standing in the political arena. Because other than that, black politicians are non-existent. They are just a face. That is the face that they put in front of black folk and say, hey, you can come up here and sit with us. You can sit at our table. We're showing you that it's fair. We're fair. It's balanced. That we care about you. That you no longer are 3/5 a man. If we show you an image that you belong up here with us, man, please. Stacey Abrams lost, and Atlanta damn near all black. How you keep losing? How you keep doing your master's bidding and doing all that and still lose? After a while, that spell runoff, that Boule spell runoff. Y'all haven't figured out why all the black politicians come out of the Greek? Y'all haven't figured that out yet? I know some of y'all got Greeks in your family. I got Greeks in mine. I got one Greek, a cousin, who waited in her 40s to be an AKA. Like in her 40s. I don't even talk to her much anymore. That's like my first cousin on my mother's side. I block her. I don't even talk to her that much anymore. I keep getting tired of watching her do that stupid AKA hand pose. But they follow a doctrine. They follow an oath. An oath ain't to black folk. It's oath for first to their Greek god or whatever nonsense they worship. And then it's to separate themselves and make themselves their bougie and better than black folk because they're so somewhat highly educated. So really that whole fight between, that whole war between Herschel Walker and Raphael Warnock is to make the uninitiated Herschel Walker look like a dumb field slave and make Raphael Warnock look like the smart house slave. That's all that does. And it's Willie Lynch. It's all it is. Putting certain slaves against each other. That's all that is. So they tell Herschel Walker to get up there, dance, and sound stupid. It looks like he can't put sentences together. Then they got Raphael Warnock and all his Boule pastors jumping in and trying to sound more educated. And they just is twice as stupid too. They talking about how Herschel Walker is under the white man. And what do you think Christianity is? What do you think those Greek statues are? Like it's completely idiotic to me that you would want to walk around and preach the word with a Greek letter on your chest. Black folk can't stop saying Jesus no more than white folk can stop saying it. And now that's in Maccabees. All you gotta do is read Book of Maccabees, and you'll find out exactly why black folk in certain bloodlines are in Greeks, or are susceptible to being in Greeks. Now, this whole Elizabeth Holmes thing was hilarious to me. Everybody heard about the story about Elizabeth Holmes. They even had a documentary on this woman, and then they had a short movie on Hulu about this woman with Amanda Seyfried. I don't know why they gave this woman so much publicity in a short time. Why? Because it was just like the dude from FTX. Sam Bartman Fried. They did the same exact thing. They built up a fraudulent business, Ponzi schemed it, money laundered it, and then get the kickbacks from it. Did the same thing with Elizabeth Holmes. She was a 19-year-old dropout. And all of a sudden, she came into this $10 billion company over. It's basically overnight. Over a product, she couldn't even get to work. Fam, what they've been doing this whole time? oh, this is a new way to go through blood, da 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 da. Call it Theranos. Fam, at what point did they ever have a board meeting and be like, yo, this don't work? So the government had to know that they were Ponzi scheming it. Of course, the politicians had to know because they had to protect her, just as if they were protecting Jeffrey Epstein. They were all getting kickbacks from it until eventually they had to pull the plug, because obviously you can't fool everybody. Like, there's workers who are uninitiated in occult society, so of course they're going to start poking around and asking questions. So you got to pull the plug. You ever heard that woman talk? She talks, her voice is really weird. Talks like a robot, like a male robot. Not as you would think. Her voice don't match her face is what I'm saying. But she goes in and gets sentenced. Now get this. She's 38 years old. 3 plus 8 is 11. She gets sentenced on what? The month of November, 11. And she gets sentenced for how many years? 11 years. You add those up, that's 33. Fam, they just playing with y'all. That woman probably is not ever going to go to prison. That dude, Bartman Fried, he probably not going to go to prison either. Quote unquote, the Jewish king of crypto. Fam, these people don't go to jail. They use them. They use these young people because they're well-liked. And people, when people look at young people scamming, y'all don't care. When you look at old people, you be like, oh, these old people, they, you know, y'all will dissent against this system when you see old people getting away with scams. When you see young people getting it, you be like, oh, they scammed. You thinking, oh, they scammed older people. They deserve to be scammed. So that's why they do it. They use these younger people on y'all to give you an image of, oh, good for them. They scamming the system. And not knowing it's going to eventually come out of our pockets. That's why they keep jacking up the inflation. They're going to keep jacking this inflation up until you cannot buy not a damn thing out of that grocery store. Now, this goes back to war. If you don't know you in a war, and if you don't know how to stop sinning, and you keep walking around saying you're a sinner, you're going to attract sin. You're going to attract brokenheartedness. You're going to attract scammers. You're going to, because they think, oh, all you're going to do anyway is pray for me. You pray for your enemies, right? So you're going to pray for those who despitefully use you, right? So I'm going to be your enemy, and I'm going to despitefully use you. I'm going to make sure you can't make it financially in the system. And that's what y'all do when y'all do this. When y'all walk around posting, I'm a sinner. A war is about to break off. And you're going to need all the help you can get, because you can't control digital currency. You can't control how people operate in their businesses to make sure they stay solvent. So you're going to need the Most High's prayer. You're going to need a prayer like David to shake up and wash up your enemies so they can drop money in your account, so they can drop groceries at your front door. You're going to need that. Some of you not built for a physical war. You're going to need all the prayer you can get. So they're going to crash Bitcoin. You know they are. They're going to crash Bitcoin if they ain't already crashing it right now. They're going to crash it. They have to wipe it away and put everybody into this one world coin, this one world digital currency. That's what they're going to do. So in order to bring that system out, they have to crash the old one. In order to do it in America, you got to crash America. And they're getting you ready for mass death. I'm telling you, they're getting you ready for mass death. I can't tell you how many stories I've seen in the news of families, for some reason, families of 4 or 5 being found dead in their homes. One was in Maryland, where I'm from, La Plata, Maryland. It was a family of 4, whole family gone. They don't even know why. They don't know how, off, whole family gone. It was a couple days ago, another family of 4 or 5, husband killed his wife and his kids and then himself. No reason. Of course, they give you every neighborhood, they tell you when these stories happen. Oh, it was just a close-knit community. It ain't that close-knit. If y'all can't find out people having problems, that all of a sudden that they do a mass murder-suicide in their homes and don't think nothing of it. You got those 3 young men in Virginia, football players, who got shot by one dude. That story is iffy to me, too. That story, it ain't sitting right with me either. You only hearing one witness. They were supposed to come back from a bus trip from D.C. And all of a sudden, there is no more witnesses but one girl. I only seen one witness out of that whole shooting. The sister, the scene, the way they're picturing the scene for me isn't added up. But okay, these three football players died. Then the four people in Idaho. University of Idaho, the four people stabbed to death with two roommates in there. And then they didn't make the call that these four children died until noon. Fam, at some point, if they died like in the early, like maybe 1 to 2 o'clock in the morning, because that's when they got back, 2 o'clock in the morning, that means from 9 or 11 hours, those dead bodies sitting in there. You trying to tell me that they somebody walked into that room, they said it was no forcible entry. It wasn't a forcible entry. So you trying to tell me somebody walked into their apartment, killed four people silently with a knife. No screaming, no fighting, no nothing. Don't leave blood splatters all over the place. Don't leave stains. Don't leave a trickle. But left two other roommates in there sound asleep. And they woke up and they said, oh, there's dead bodies in here? Fam, all you got to do is look at the, I'm going to teach you how to see different things. When they do these crime scenes, you always look at the house number. Always look at the house number when they do these scenes of a crime. Because they tell you exactly if it's been a ritual or not. If it's even already talked about, oh, they were targeted. How was four people randomly targeted? Makes no sense to me. If you look at their door number, it was 1122. This is 2022 in the month of 11 that this happened. Also, if you add 11 plus 22 is 33. Some of these children were in Greek life. Pi beta phi, which means light. Isn't Lucifer the light bearer, the light bringer? Then they worked at a restaurant called Mad Greek. Bruh, I don't know how many times I have to, I gotta expose it, but that's what they do. Isn't Satan prowling around looking for somebody who he could devour? Fam, he devouring at clips at a time. Y'all think Satan walking around there messing with you? Satan don't have time to be messing with you. If anything, it's your own decisions and your consequences of your decisions that's troubling you. Satan is not out here prowling as a roaring lion looking for you. He looking for the big fish. And he can't do nothing without the Most High's blessing. So really, the Most High let whoever go into that house of four white people get slaughtered. Don't no matter how the media makes them look. Oh, they were just a precious person. Oh, they were so loving and they had so much of their life looking for them. At the end of the day, did they worship the Most High? Because that will be what their judgment be. The last night they had, what did I tell y'all last episodes? What happened? I've been telling you in previous episodes. Some of y'all don't know, you're on your last drink. You're on your last clubbing. You're on your last night clubbing. You're on your last brunch. You're on your last of everything. And if you don't stop playing, you're going to be just like those four white people in Idaho. Wasn't they at a food truck? And two of them, both of them, one of those two girls were drunk. They were at a food truck at 1 a.m. Lit. You think at any time that passes their mind, man, I should have, is it today? Is a feast day or a holy day? Did I celebrate the Shabbat or? What do y'all think NPCs do in video games? Don't y'all run into them? Don't y'all actually hit them? Don't y'all use them for target practice? What do you think these demons do? Why do you think they get these type of video games? Where you could just randomly run into people minding their business? Why do you think they do that? It's to show you. It's to prove to you. It's to manifest to you. This is how we use you. Those of you who aren't main characters, who are in a main mission, which is for the Most High, if you're not doing that, you're an NPC. So they're telling you through these video games, this is what we could do to you.
We could take a car and ram it into you. Like, look at the what happened in L.A. Now, if you look up the word cadet in Gematria, it's 33. Now, Whittier is 33 something. Like, oh, I can't forget the numbers, but I know it had 33 in it. I seen the video. The dude wasn't even driving that fast. Because he could literally, if he was driving faster, he could straight up kill them. But they only got injured. So he wasn't driving as fast as people think. I seen the video. He literally was coming to the opposite direction, saw these 20-some cadets jogging, and then turned into them, and then the camera flashes so you don't see the carnage, and then boom, all these guys laying around. You trying to tell me these cadets jogging can't dodge away from, they couldn't dodge away from this car? But it hit them. It like 20 of them. Like I said, fam, this is Grand Theft Auto for them. For demons and Satan. If Satan gonna come out here and mess with y'all, he gonna go for the gusto. He not worried about you working in McDonald's and you getting upset because your boyfriend cheated. So, oh, Satan attacking me. That ain't what that is. That's the consequences of your flesh. That's the consequences of your actions that are catching up to you. Satan out here doing big things. He out here being a servant for destruction. That's his calling. Because the most I know, he hates mankind. So it's easy for him to be like, saying, he could be like, Satan, go over and touch these people. All right, well, I'm on it. Now you want one, two, or three, or four, because I could do all four. Do all four. All right, bet. They did a interview pulling out the Rambo knife. You know the Rambo knife in Rambo First Blood? That big knife he had? I think he had it in the first one and the first one too. But the second Rambo, he had that big knife. He's like, this is my luck. They pulled that on the TV and said, it could have been a knife like this. They didn't even find the murder weapon. They don't even know if it was that particular murder weapon. But they brought this weapon out and it could have been this. Now, what they're doing is, because they done been programming everybody with this Jeffrey Dahmer mess. So now people in their brains, people who have low frequencies anyways, or low vibrational systems, they all of a sudden going to get it in their brain to go out there and buy that Rambo knife. Either from protection or because they want to go cut something. So they show people this big knife and say, oh, this is what did it. We don't know if this is the knife that's used, but it could be something like this. In Idaho, fam. In Idaho. And what makes it more funny? It was Moscow, Idaho. And what happened literally 24 hours after these four students died? What did you see in the news? Oh, Russia, Moscow hit Poland with a missile. And they couldn't flip that story. Like I said before, not every spell works for them. So now they had to backtrack. Like, oh, it was kind of Russia's fault, but it was a missile that was intercepted, blah, blah, blah. It hit the ground and killed some people. Fam, missiles don't just kill two or three people. They out there aiming at cities. Aiming at whole populations. How does it not have a missile hit a city and not destroyed 50 to 60 people? Why is it always one, two, three people, or four people, or more likely six? It's always six with them. Six victims, six people, six did this. They dropping missiles. They don't even be in high populated areas. If this was a real war, fam, it would be mass death. Like Vietnam, a real war. World War I, World War II, real world wars. Where people, 100,000 are dropping, or 1,000 dropping a day. These are not even real wars. It's 20 to 30 people, 10 people, 5 people here and there. Fam, they shelling whole cities. You got the Ukrainian president acting like he's not at war. We're having all these celebrities come in into town to visit him at the Capitol. Fam, if this was a real war, I would just hit the Ukrainian White House. I would just drop it on the capital city. I don't know why. There's no real rules of engagement. But people believe whatever they want to believe in that story. But I'm just saying, that's where we are right now. They're getting ready to crash the system because they can. And they're Ponzi scheming. Now, when you see crimes of like politicians getting involved with stocks, and you, and when all that's starting to come out and all that rising to the surface, it's one, because they want you to know it's coming to the surface, and two, they know you can't do nothing about it. They know at this point, they know you can't stop nothing. They know you more worried about your finances than you are worrying about theirs, and they know you're trying to protect yourself, and they could care less. They know you could care less about how they protecting their wealth. That your arguments and your fight against them is going to last for a week, and it'll be something else you'll worry about. So they could care less. They don't care if you find out or you know. They know you know. They know you don't have a manpower to do anything about it. Matter of fact, they want you to know so you can go protest, so you can get mad and upset. They need violence. They need chaos anyway. And you're going to give it to them. If you don't know how to pray against your enemies, if you don't know how this world works, if you still concerned about your flesh and how you sin, then you're going to be worrying about man taking care of you. Then you're worrying about how men are doing things and complaining how, oh, I'm going to pray for my enemies and they're about to short this system. I'm going to pray for those who spitefully use me and they're going to short this using, despising me and using me. So you're going to allow yourself to get used. And that won't make a difference either, because at the end of the day, it would all be about if we served the Most High. Did we walk right? Did we take care of others? At the end of the day, that's what it's going to be about. Like even in this truth work, you can expose all of the celebrities you want. But at the end of the day, they were going to expose themselves. I could literally not post anything for a year. It wouldn't matter. People were going to be awakened anyway. It's all going to come out. Regardless, it's all going to come out. But the point is, what are you spending your time on? Are you praising and worshiping what the Most High wants for you to do? And this is for everybody. I know some of the Israelites, we do get selfish with our stuff. But it's for everybody to do. There's nothing stopping you from doing Passover. There's nothing stopping you from doing Feast of Trumpets. There's nothing stopping you from doing a Shabbat or trying to keep the Shabbat days. There's nothing stopping you from doing that. There's nothing stopping you from following the correct calendar. Now that we know it's the moon, we know how to learn how to move. That's beautiful. Attempting to learn something that the Most High has ordained to Enoch, that's beautiful. To find out how to use the moon. We never did that. We thought, when we grew up, we thought that this is what this world was. Oh, it was the sun, and then it was a moon. And we had no idea what their purpose was. None. We literally had no idea what their purpose was. We was like, oh, this is something for daytime. Oh, this is something for night. And we didn't care. Now that we know it, we come into this calendar and learning and using the luminaries, I guarantee y'all been looking at that moon differently. I know you catch yourself looking at it and staring at it, trying to figure out what phase of the moon is in. That's what we did back in those days, these ancient days. We didn't have weathermen, forecasters, news stations. They didn't have none of that. Literally, look up. Oh, we got 14 more days left. Oh, look up. Oh, tomorrow's going to be a full moon. And that's how they did their days. But yeah, this is a time of war, and people need to start preparing themselves. Does it not say in Psalms 23:5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies? You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. 27:1, Yahuwah is my light and my Yeshua. Whom shall I fear? Yahuwah is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat my flesh, they stumbled and fell. If I'm going to go to war, I'm going to follow scriptures of men who've been in war, real war, when their life was at risk. I'm talking about real risk. These are the scriptures I find. Stop throwing a pity party for yourself. Nobody cares. The Most High does not care that you're going out there using your victimhood of your religion as a shield of honor. No one cares. At the end of the day, you get in your prayer closet and you go to work. You remove the sins out of your house. You don't heap sin upon sin. And you learn to fight in spirit. Don't nobody online care that you're a Christian. Don't nobody online care of what you do. But when you walk differently, when you act differently, when you talk differently, it will show. You will be a witness through your actions. Not your posts. Through your actions. David, Psalms 41:10. But you, O Yahuwah, be merciful unto me and raise me up that I may requite them. By this I know that you favor me, because my enemy does not triumph over me. 55:22. Cast your burden upon Yahuwah, and he shall sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. And that's what I'm not doing. I'm not moving. So don't come in my DMs talking about, oh, no, you argue online. Oh, you should. This is not a good look for you. I will not be moved. 105:3. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek Yahuwah. Seek Yahuwah and his strength. Seek his face evermore. Remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Abraham, his servant, ye children of Jacob, his chosen. You could go to Jeremiah 51, I think it was like 51 chapter or whatever, and he talks about how Yahuwah, he said, I'm going to use you as my battle axe. I'm going to use you to take apart these nations. Oh no, you look crazy. Don't speak to them like that. You shouldn't say this. You shouldn't argue online. Am I not doing my calling? Breaking apart these nations? I'm not talking about countries as a nations. I'm talking the nations of peoples. Either you're a Gentile, you're a heathen, or a stranger, that's what I'm picking apart. And if you eat Hebrew Israelites, want to stand in front of it, you're going to get picked apart too. And correct it. That you should never stand in front of a man in his war. That you can't muzzle an ox once he starts treading out the grain. Take an account where you at in your life as it relates to how you worshiping the Most High. Because if you're doing everything the Most High says you should be doing, it is so easy for you to be protected and covered. You don't even have to do much. Because what? He goes before you. Things that are going to come into your life to teach you a lesson, he's going to strengthen you for it. He may not block it completely because you need that character development. And some of you are so scared to do anything. So how do you know if the Spirit or his glory is going to work for you if you do not decide to do anything about it? Oh, I'm not going to say nothing because I don't want the pushback. Don't you know if you get in a war, if you get in a pushback situation and then pray about it, then you see the glory come out. Then you see, oh, this is how the Most High fights for me. This is how he defends his children. If you don't know how he works, then you're never going to engage yourself in anything. Y'all think the Most High is going to come out of those clouds and wipe away every single thing so it doesn't harm you? Sometimes you need those trials and tribulations to prove to yourself how strong you need to be. He's not going to intercede on free will. But he gonna put his hand on your back and move you along. He's gonna make sure you see good. If you ducking from your enemies, fam, how do you know if he ever gonna defend a fight for you? if you're always ducking away from them? I'm not talking about going out there physically fighting people, y'all. I'm talking about really putting in the truth. You usually go out there fist fight with the Pharisees and Sadducees. He would say his piece, bounce out, come back, say his piece, bounce out, come back, teach him here, teach him there, take out a demon out of one Yehudim, bounce out, bounce back, say some words, and then when they knew he was looking for his life, say, I can't be around these people no more, then bounce back out. That's how he was doing it. But he was still in truth. He stood up to his enemies. And he would tell them, what did you usually keep telling them? It's not my time yet. When they came, they kept coming for him because he knew it's not my time yet. What y'all come over here for? It's not my time. He's telling them, the people who came to come kill him, he's telling them, it's not my time yet. Y'all go home. They would turn around and go back. That's so his disciples could see. So when your enemy comes to you, it's not my time yet. Y'all going home. You could pray. You could stand in front of your enemies and know what they can and can't do. That's the beauty of it. Because after a lot of trials, a lot of tribulations, and you make yourself hardened, and like spiritually hardened, and you ready like for that character development, and you at a point, a phase in your life where you know man can't do nothing to you because of the Most High, that's when you get, that's where the swagger comes from. That's where you really put your word to work. That's when it really happens for you. But it won't happen if you're always ducking and hiding from your enemies because you're a sinner and you just want to be beat on. You want to be used and you want to turn the other cheek. Fam, all my favorite men in the Bible have not turned the other cheek. Abraham didn't turn the other cheek when he beat up them those kings. Jacob, Judah, Levi, Simeon didn't turn the other cheek when the Canaanites, the line of Ham, raped their sister. None of them turned the other cheek. I love that story because they tricked them. They told the kings and the sons and all the men of that village, if you want my sister, you got to be circumcised. So all these fools went out there for one woman, circumcised themselves, the whole village. Simeon, Judah, and Levi came back, killed a whole village because they was still hurting from circumcising themselves. Fam, you know how hard that, you know how that hurts to scrape off the foreskin with no numbing, no alcohol, no nothing, just straight raw knife, raw stone, cutting the foreskin off your penis as an adult man. You know how bad that hurt? And then you see these two, then you see three sons pissed, coming back with swords, and you can't do no defending yourself. And they went through all that whole village. And the Most High let them do it. How about that? Before the covenant, before thou shalt not kill, the Most High let them do it. Then they started wars with that line of Canaanites, and the Most High was with them. You should read Jasher, the early books of Jasher. You'll read how Judah was, there's no better way to say it, so I'm going to say this curse word. He was a shit starter. Judah was the shit starter. So they wouldn't go anywhere in war without Judah. So when Judah go in there, he get hot. And he start doing stuff himself. He climb up walls the stories about Judah are amazing. And y'all come from this bloodline. We don't duck. None of the sons duck. The first four sons, fam, they went to war. And I'm not talking about it was for them. It was like four and then 100 of their homeboys. No, fam, it most likely was four of them against four grown kings and their thousands of men. Then they would be scared of them and run away. How terrifying do you have to be as a man of four to scare away kings and kings' men? Men who are valiant in war. They were able to do that because the Most High was protecting them. I read in the Pseudepigrapha last episode of Judah ever not being afraid of going into war because he knew that a powerful angel was with him. It's amazing. Y'all wasting these powerful angels and these cherubims, these seraphims, and then all these angels and these luminaries and servants of the Most High, y'all are not putting them to work. I'm putting them to work with me. I can't wait till an enemy to come up so I can use this prayer. And you know how I pray to make an effective war prayer? I announce all the good things that the Most High has done for my people in times of war and distress. And I recite all his wonderful works to let him know, I know that he has protected my kinsmen, my ancestors, my forefathers. And I tell him different scenarios in scripture how he has protected them. So I want the same protection, because then I ask the Most High, just how he Most High gives rhetorical questions. See, like, for example, who shall deliver out of my hand? That's the Most High being rhetorical. So I give rhetorical answers to the Most High. Am I not the child of Jacob? Am I not the child of Judah? Am I not your inheritance, your chosen? And then the Most High knows nothing I say out of my mouth is going to fail. Because I'm asking the Most High for help. And I'm showing him this is what he has done for my kinsmen. And because I'm walking righteous and I'm serving him the way he deserves to be served, and praying the way he deserves to be prayed to, he is going to hear me. I don't have sin heaped upon sin, heaped upon sin in my household. I don't have demons running out of my house and bringing 4 or 5 of their homeboys back up in here. I don't have that. So my house is clean. So the Most High can hear me with a clear ear. And then when he answers me, I can see it. I understand. My prayers are answered. And the more you do it, the more you're comfortable with this type of war prayer, the more you engage in it, fam, it changes your life. It changes your perspective. You no longer are in fear. And sometimes people on social media, oh, you're fear-mongering. Fam, I'm not fear-mongering. I think this is funny. What's going to happen is, I'm not in fear at all. Because I know the Most High is doing everything in his due time, and he's not going to allow his children to suffer in a system he told us to come out of. He's going to give us the benefit of coming out of this system. So certain things will not be able to touch us, just like nothing touched the children of Goshen. So this is what I'm trying to manifest Goshen for all of you. When you listening to me, we are in Goshen right now. Every time you listen to this show, imagine we're in Goshen. Okay? And what happened in Goshen? No plagues. Not one. They even got warnings. Hey, the water gonna be a little, you know, the water gonna be a little, y'all might wanna stock up right now. Y'all seen the movie Ten Commandments? It's loosely based. You saw Miriam at the well, saying, hey, y'all fill up your jugs because the water going to be bad for a couple of days. That's what we're going to get warning signs like that. When the plagues hit, we're going to be walking around wondering why bees ain't stinging us up. The bees that you, or the insects, the flying insects you heard about in Revelation, we're going to walk around, run around. None of us is getting tormented. I mean, we're going to know. But you know how crazy that's going to look? Where people are getting stung and annoyed by all these type of plagues that are coming back. You know how wild it's going to be when you walk around and ain't nothing affecting you? You're not scared at all? It was like that in Goshen. When it was dark, it was dark. But when it came to lice and animals dying and the firstborn dying, fam, it was to the Israelites, they must have been like, man, Most High is turned up. And it wasn't like these plagues hit from hour, fam. It was like literally, it had to be for years. It had to be sprawled out for a longer periods of time. So imagine how miserable those Egyptians were at that time. And it's going to be happening again. So look how miserable these Americans are going to be. Miserable. And there's nothing you could do to help them. You could tell them repent, but their minds are going to be so programmed and brainwashed, they won't know how to repent. Because obviously everybody's going into Luciferianism and low-key Satanism. So they don't think the Most High exists. Especially when they see natural disasters, they don't know scripture. And no matter if you tell them or not, their ears will already be plugged. It's nothing you could do to save them. And it says that in Ezra Baruch. It says the Most High, it's going to be a time where grace period is going to run out. I'm going to forgive those who I can forgive, and I'm going to punish those who deserve to be punished. And there's nothing you could do about it. Not a prayer, not, oh, I'm going to pray for them. It won't, nothing, fam. It's their time. Just like when everybody was making fun of Noah. When everybody was making fun of Noah, laughing and chuckling, like, why are you building this big boat for no reason? And then what? That first raindrop, they was beating on his door. And Noah couldn't open it.
Like so, a child who lost his way.
Get ready.
I cling onto piece of what was. Before they took away our home and heritage, Jerusalem. Curses on curses, seven times more it worsens. I just want to know. I just want a piece of what was. How do I sing a song of praise in a strange land? We hope for home, salvation. We hope for New Jerusalem, for peace and a piece of what was.